With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour number three on a Friday. You know what you're listening to. It's the Zach Gelb Show. We appreciate you, whether you're tuning in on one of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 206, or the brand new Odyssey app. As always, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Brian Finneran is going to join us, the former Falcons wide receiver, coming up in 19 minutes from now. I'll give you an exact time. He'll stop by at 8:20 p.m. Eastern. You don't want to miss it. We'll have a little conversation about Julio Jones. I think the Falcons are trading Julio Jones. Is that the feel in Atlanta? Is Julio Jones definitely going to get traded this offseason after June 1? And what will the return be? And I want to get some opinion from a Falcons, former Falcons player, now Falcons, I guess, insider, talk show host, however you want to refer to Brian Finneran. I want a little local feel from Atlanta about what Falcons fans thought on the decision to pass up on a quarterback at 4 and draft Kyle Pitts, who a lot of people have big expectations for. So we'll do that coming up in now 18 minutes from now on the Zach Gelb Show. All righty, so NBA postseason. We know what the big storylines are, right? LeBron's the biggest storyline. Is he going to be in the playing game? Is he not going to be in the playing game? How healthy is him, and not only him, but Anthony Davis going to be? So take that out of the equation. After that, and I've said this before, but I want to take it from a different perspective. I'm really intrigued by three storylines. Number one, what are the Brooklyn Nets going to do? They're supposed to get James Harden. Steve Nash said this. James Harden, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving are all expected to play one game together, so they'll have eight games together during this entire course of the season. When I look at the Nets, what is the bigger talking point? Is it, will James Harden finally get a ring? Or is it, will Kevin Durant, I'm not going to say finally get a ring, but I do believe that if he gets this ring, it would be viewed differently than the two that he got in Golden State. And I don't know about you, Ryan. Do you take any issue with that? Because I understand it was not a popular decision for him to go join the Warriors, especially they lost to the Warriors. And then Draymond goes on and with along with Steph and Klay to lose to LeBron. You have that whole urban legend like, oh, Draymond Green calls him up and he's crying. And, oh, we need you, KD. Please, KD, come save us. We need you to be Big Bad LeBron James. Woo! And Kevin Durant goes, okay, I'm going. Now, Kevin Durant won two championships. Two finals MVPs with the Golden State Warriors. And for a player of his magnitude and a player of his caliber, even with what I just said, two finals MVPs, he didn't really get bouquets thrown at him and words of extolment because people viewed those championships as weak. If he wins a championship this year with the Nets, and I'll just ask you the question and then get to my point, because I don't want to spoil what I'm about to say, that's, I'm curious on your thinking. How would you view this championship if Kevin Durant gets it done with Brooklyn?
His first real one. Because he was the the true leader of the
team. He was the architect.
He built the team himself. So sure, he got James Harden. Sure, they have the most talent. But at least he was the first guy there, if you will, to at least lead the charge.
Now, isn't that... I didn't think about this until today. Because all throughout the year, oh, if Durant wins this one, this would be the validation that he was seeking. That's why, no matter what he says, he left Golden State because he was annoyed what people were saying about him. That's why he left Golden State. He 1,000% left Golden State because it annoyed him that egg face 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 was saying, oh, go win a real ring. Well, let me tell you something. Even if you win a ring, people are always going to say that to you. You ever see LeBron James's mentions? Oh, go win a real ring, LeBron. Rings in Miami were legit. He lost one before he won two. And 4 years there, he was 2-2. One in Cleveland, he was going up against, from a record standpoint, the greatest regular season team of all time just in terms of wins. And then he goes to the Lakers and, oh, it's pandemic ring. It doesn't count. Stop it. Stop it, stop it, stop it. So I do find it funny, though, that we get on LeBron, and you put out the point there perfectly. It's because he was the architect here. He was the, even though he was the lead guy, he was the best player in Golden State, that team was already great. He got to the Nets. The Nets were what? A seventh seed? Yeah, Jared Dudley getting into it with Joel Embiid in that series. And LeBron says, oh yeah, I want to go join there. And they totally gave every key in that organization to LeBron James. Caris LeVert no longer there. You know, I don't know how much longer Spencer Dinwiddie will be at the organization. Remember Kenny? Oh yeah, I came here because of Kenny Atkinson's culture. No longer even the coach. It is, though, I don't know if ironic is the right word, though, that we got on Kevin Durant, and I get why we did, for what happened in his departure from OKC to Golden State. But now he's formed a super team here, and this would be classified as the real ring. Is that at all bizarre to you? And now you laid it out perfectly, right? He created this team. But it's not as if it was just him and someone else. Like, this league right now is a league of dynamic duos until Kevin Durant got James Harden to Brooklyn to join him with Kyrie Irving.
I guess the thing now is it's just accepted that that's how you win championships.
Yeah.
Like the Damian Lillard model of trying to, you know, win with the homegrown talent, doing on your own, as we've seen, just doesn't work. So it's almost like, from a fan perspective, accepted that, yeah, you know, whoever's there first, well, they're going to try to get the biggest stars possible, and then we view it as legitimate if you're there first.
In recent memory, it's only worked twice where you don't need a super team to win, right? The Raptors with Kawhi Leonard. Do you know the other?
Mavericks.
Yep, with Dirk Nowitzki.
Boom.
That's right? It.
Yep.
Other than that, in recent memory, Heat super team. Cavs, I wouldn't call that a super, super team, but you did have a nice trio there.
Helps having LeBron James, too.
Yeah, but remember, also, when LeBron was in Miami, at some points, people had these conversations. It's really 2.5 stars, too. Like, some people didn't view Chris Bosh as a star. Chris Bosh is going to be a Hall of Famer. Those were those conversations, and Dwayne Wade did get hurt at the tail end of what, not a dynasty, but of what that super team was. The Spurs? Now, the Spurs obviously had Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, Kawhi Leonard, and Tim Duncan, who's going into the Hall of Fame. Interesting, we don't really view the Spurs as a super team, right? Like, you don't view this. The Spurs are a great team. Hall of Fame players all around. But that's what I'm talking about. They don't have that super team vibe because of the way that it was built, too. But it doesn't have the super team vibe as, like, when you say super team with the Heat, with the Warriors, and now with the Nets. Do you agree on that?
Right, because we associate super team with coming together artificially, right? Like, you grab this star that's already established, grab this star that's already established. The Spurs, and you can make the argument the Warriors too early on, built it from the ground up, and they developed their stars that, you know, sure, they were super teams, but it was through the draft.
And not only that, there was no polarizing player on the Spurs. The only time there was a polarizing player was Kawhi Leonard, when Kawhi was hurt and he's in New York and they're trying to see him and they're like, oh, he's not here. You know, go somewhere else. Go screw, pretty much. So Kevin Durant wins this ring. You think universally people will look at this as, okay, this is his first legitimate championship.
I do.
Okay. I don't think you're wrong. I just find that to be ironic that we go, oh, this guy left to join an already great team. But because he built a great team here by telling his pal Kyrie Irving to sign and then demanding James Harden to get a trade, then boom, it's all good to go. Is Kevin Durant the biggest storyline if the Nets win the championship, or is it James Harden finally getting his first title? Because Kyrie Irving has a quote-unquote legitimate championship and played a big role in that by hitting that shot up against the Warriors in that epic comeback. That game seven is defined by two plays. The block by James, and then also the Kyrie Irving shot. And if I had to give you a third moment, it was in the celebration when LeBron James did the Cleveland, this is for you. If the Nets win, Durant does have two rings. Some of you, this is his first legitimate ring, so this would be his third ring. But some may view it as his first ring. Is the bigger story Durant winning outside of Golden State, or is it James Harden getting his first ring? Because you know the conversation on James Harden. Great player, but can't get it done in the clutch and can't win a championship. What's the bigger storyline if the Nets win?
I'd say KD.
I'm with you, too. Because with Harden, people will view it as, oh, he had to be the second or third guy on the team. Right? Because if the Nets have to hit a big shot late, it could be James Harden. James Harden's not the first option. Durant's the first option. I'd imagine Kyrie's the next option. So Harden could be the second option, but also could be the third option. And if James Harden's your third option, you better hit the shot. All righty? Look how we were gushing last year. Others were gushing when James Harden, in a series that should have never gone to seven games, you were going up against the Oklahoma City Thunder, who basically just had Chris Paul. I know that's a little bit of a shot, but no one ever thought that team was going to be good heading into the year. And you needed a big James Harden block at the end. That's it. He was terrible in that game offensively in that game seven. And a defensive play bailed him out. I think if James Harden gets a championship here, people will say, good for him. He got it done. We know he's already a Hall of Fame player. I do believe, though, people will go, oh, but he couldn't be the main guy on a championship team. In Houston, if he would have won, he would have been the main guy with Chris Paul. Since he was there before Russell Westbrook, if he won, he would have been the main guy in Houston. Now with the Nets, he's two or three. Now, should James Harden care? No. And I think it would be an awesome moment if James Harden did get a ring. I do think it would be cool. Because I would imagine you would agree with me on this one here, Trace. James Harden, if people go, oh, you don't have a legitimate ring, which is kind of a stupid conversation, or, oh, you had to go join a super team for you to go get that ring. I think James Harden brushes that off, where Kevin Durant was not able to do that when he was with the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, I think, yeah, absolutely, actually.
Okay. And then here's two more teams that I'm really curious about. Because the Nets, there's just so much intrigue because we know what their potential could be. However, we've only seen them play, what, seven games? Maybe eight at most. And who even knows if we'll see them play eight games together, right, in this regular season? Because we were told that this week we were going to see LeBron James come back. And I just saw a report. We know he missed those two games. That LeBron James and Anthony Davis are both, it's uncertain what's going to happen for their next game. So when we then look at two other storylines, I am fascinated by the Bucks and the Clippers. Because the Bucks and the Clippers share one thing in common. Their regular seasons did not matter. Now, of course, if they were a 6 seed or a 7 seed, it's a little bit different. There was nothing really that the Clippers nor the Bucks could do in this regular season where you would walk away and would praise them after the regular season. Because the Clippers were good last year in the regular season, and they couldn't get out of the second round because Paul George choked. And Paul George was horrible in the postseason. Now, the Bucks, they've had the best record in the league the last 2 years before this season. And they got to the conference finals, blew a 2-0 lead to the Raptors. And then last year, couldn't even get out of the second round. So, yes, Milwaukee made improvements this year, mainly by going out and getting Jrue Holiday. The Clippers have a new coach. And they have some different players on that roster. The foundation, though, is still the same when you have Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. For the Bucks, the expectation is to go to the NBA Finals. And you have a legitimate shot to get there. It's a 1-in-3 odds. Because even though Miami is starting to play better, Miami's not getting the finals again. They're just not this year. And the Sixers, we wonder if they could finish. The Nets, we wonder if they could be healthy. And the Bucks, the question is, can they finish? They're good once again in the regular season. Now it's time to get the job done in the postseason. And then when I look at the Clippers, it's the same thing. The Clippers were embarrassing last year. Not in the regular season, in the postseason. How Paul George, and there's no way Kawhi Leonard would agree with this, how Paul George had the audacity, and I said this 9,000 times throughout the season, but it really does annoy me. How he said 9,000, you know, I'll say this again for the 9,001 time, how he said after that loss where they blew the lead, 3-1, blew the lead, how this year wasn't championship or bust was one of the most embarrassing and weak things I've ever heard from a superstar or heard from a really great player. It was a joke. And this year, People are praising Paul George. Like, look at the regular season that he had. Means nothing if he doesn't win a championship this year. Means nothing. Because you're in L.A. where LeBron and AD have a ring. You're in L.A. with Kawhi Leonard. You need to go win a ring this year. Those are three storylines I look at. Durant and Harden, I guess, going for ring number one. And some people will take issue with that when we talk about Kevin Durant. And can the Bucks and Clippers close? We know what they can do in the regular season. Can they close in the postseason? That'd actually be a fun NBA Finals, Clippers and Bucks. And guess who I'd be rooting for there? I would 1,000% be rooting for Milwaukee. Bucks if they win, no problem. Sixers they win, no problem. Nets obviously they win, no problem. Lakers win another championship, no problem. Jazz Suns win a championship, no problem. Mavericks win a championship, no problem. Portland wins a championship, would love it. If the Clippers win a championship, nothing against Kawhi Leonard, I do not want to see Paul George win a championship the year after he said it wasn't championship or bust when they were just embarrassed in the postseason. Julio Jones going to be remaining with the Falcons, or is he on his way out of town? Brian Finneran, former Falcons wide receiver, now talk show host in Atlanta for The Fan, is going to join us next. Zach Gelb Show, where else? CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
So maybe I'm just crazy. A lot of people, by the way, tweeting me how good squirrel tastes. And then other people are tweeting me, too, that peanut butter on a burger is good.
Oh, it's delicious. You're missing out. See, look at that. Now I get to, look at that. Look how the tables have turned.
Yeah, blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while.
I criticize you for your bad food takes.
Yeah, blind squirrel finds a nut
that's
once
right.
in a while.
A broken clock is right twice a day. And that's the case right now.
My food takes are excellent.
Bacon, peanut butter on a burger, you will
Hold on.
Love it.
You just threw bacon in there out of nowhere.
I said
you didn't
it the
say
first
that
time. I said it the first time.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Liar.
There's
Fraud.
A place by
Fraud.
Me that does it. It is delicious. But even no bacon, just peanut butter on a burger, delicious.
I don't think your burger's good if you need to put peanut butter on it. That's
hey,
just
I mean,
me.
Listen, it's not.
Unless
you know,
if maybe you got the munchies and you have some substance in you, then maybe
too.
You could put peanut butter on it.
I promise you, you won't hate it.
I love peanut butter. I go through a jar of peanut butter in like an hour. I could if I really need to. I love peanut butter. I'm just not putting it on my burger.
All right.
Disgusting. Gross.
You do you and
what's
we'll
wrong
do
with you people? All right, what do you got?
So, Zach, over the past decade, 32 quarterbacks have been selected in the first round of the NFL draft, but only three have led their team to the playoffs in their rookie year. Both Andrew Luck and Robert Griffin III did so back in 2012, with Lamar Jackson the only other QB to accomplish his feat. He did so back in 2018. Now, this year, five quarterbacks were taken in the first round. If you remember going back to last year, the Bears, who did draft Justin Fields, they made the playoffs last season, while the 49ers and Patriots, they are 1 year removed from their postseason berths. So on sides or offside, Zach, at least one rookie first-round quarterback will lead their team to the playoffs in 2021.
Jaguars, no. Jets, no. 49ers. Here's the thing. The 49ers are going with Jimmy G week one, right? That's what he thinks of that.
Yes.
So for them to make the playoffs, you would think Jimmy G's going to be the quarterback all throughout the season. There could be a situation that presents itself, right, where they're all right. Like maybe they're 4-4 after 8 weeks, and then they go to Trey Lance in week nine or Jimmy G gets hurt. A possibility. But I'm going to assume that, and I don't think the 49ers are going to make the playoffs this year, and I would rather see Trey Lance play, quite frankly. I would trade Jimmy G and play Trey Lance week one. That's just me, though. And Daniel Jeremiah, too. I'm going to assume that the 49ers, if they make the postseason, it's not because of Trey Lance, with the circumstance that we think is going to play out. So then you leave me with the Bears and also the Patriots. Now, the Bears, I think, are going to start Andy Dalton. Then Andy Dalton's going to stink, and they're going to go to Justin Fields. And I don't think the Bears are making the playoffs, so that's no. So let me get to the Patriots. And you think Mac Jones is playing week one. I think he should, but I don't think he will. I think the Patriots will make the playoffs this year as a 7 seed. I do believe that, and we went through their schedule early. And because of their schedule the first 9-10 weeks, is not all that difficult. As much as I don't want to see him play over Mac Jones, I think Cam will be the one that will be leading the Patriots to the playoffs this year. Not that Cam's going to have this great season, but he's going to do what Belichick tells him to do. And hopefully he cuts out on the turnovers. So at least one rookie quarterback will lead their team to the playoffs in 2021. Offsides.
Offside.
Number two.
So your boy, Zach, Tom Brady. Fair to say he's a fish out of water.
Should be everyone's boy.
Well.
Greatest quarterback of all time. You're a loser if you don't like Tom Brady. Hot take on a Friday.
Hot take on a Friday. Well, it's also fair to say everyone would agree.
You could be a Jet fan, a Bills fan, a Dolphins fan.
An NFL fan.
Or a Colts fan. No, that's it. Every other team should love Tom Brady.
Okay. All right. Well, that is not the onside offsides question. Because as you know, Tom Brady was a fish out of water for most of the 2020 season. He had to adjust learning to a new playbook with new players in a new conference. That learning curve carried over into the season as Brady admitted on the Heineke Radio podcast that he struggled with the play calls for the first half of the regular season. Now, it didn't stop the
Taylor Heineke has a podcast now?
I pronounced that wrong. Heineke?
Okay, just keep on going.
Sorry.
Whatever, I have no clue what you're talking about.
So it didn't stop the 7-time Super Bowl champ from putting up prodigious numbers, including passing for 4,633 yards and 40 touchdowns. The career highs for Tom Brady are 5,235 passing yards. He did that back in 2011. And 50 touchdown passes. He did that back in 2007. Onside draw sides, Tom Brady will eclipse his career highs in passing yards and touchdowns in 2021.
This is an easy one for me. As much as I love Tom Brady and I think Tom Brady's going to have a monster season, even though they have an extra game, it is not necessary for him to throw over 5,200 yards, and I don't think he'll get 50 touchdowns. Now, he was close this year. So you ask me, Tom Brady will eclipse his career highs in passing yards and touchdowns in 2021? I will give you the answer of no offsides.
Offside.
Now, if we had to do one, I would probably say the passing yards are more likely. But come on, if they're up by a lot in the fourth quarter, run the ball. Number three.
The race to avoid the play-in tournament has been hotly contested in the Western Conference. The Mavericks, Trailblazers, and Lakers are all separated by one game as both Portland and Dallas own the tiebreaker over Los Angeles. Now, as the standings sit today, the 5 seed would face the Nuggets, while the 6 seed would take on the Clippers. The Lakers, currently the top seed in the play-in tournament, will battle the winner of the Warriors-Grizzlies game that will take place on Sunday. Now, the winner of the 7-8 game will take on the Suns most likely in the first round. So, Zach, onsides or offsides? The Lakers are better off staying in the play-in tournament and facing the Suns in the first round than potentially taking on the Clippers in round number one.
You know, I never thought about it that way. And I feel like if you answer yes to this, then you're being disrespectful to the Suns. Because I think the Suns are a heck of a basketball team. But if you ask me what I picked the Suns to go to the finals. Suns, Nets, NBA Finals. That was my prediction a week ago. Big, bold prediction by yours truly. Not so much. But if you're the Lakers, I think you'd rather avoid the Clippers and play the Suns. I do agree with that. But then part of me says, if you're LeBron at this point in your career, you shouldn't care who you're playing. You know what? I think it's actually more embarrassing if the Lakers are in the play-in compared to if they're not. Like, if you have to tell me, all right, you stay in the play-in, but you get the Suns. Or don't get in the play-in, you play the Clippers. I don't know. You take a hit though, if you are in the play-in game. Now, if you end up in the championship, it doesn't matter. So the Lakers are better off staying in the play-in tournament and facing the Suns in the first round than potentially taking on the Clippers in round one. You know, I'm going to go offsides on this, and I'll tell you why in just a second, but hit the sounder.
Offside.
Once again, in LeBron's career at this point, it should not matter who he's playing, just as long as he's healthy. I wouldn't get too concerned and too caught up with the matchup. The Suns are a really good team this year, and as much as I don't want to see the Clippers win a championship, they are a good team as well. All right, number four, go ahead.
NFL Network's Cynthia Freeland has simulated the 2021 season 50,000 times in order to generate the most accurate win totals for each team.
You don't think she was pressing the button on the simulation every time,
right? I hope so. Could you imagine? Well, man.
Go get me some bacon peanut butter burger and a cup of coffee.
Oof, that is going to take a while.
And some smelling salts.
Yeah, great call on the smelling salts, for sure. So in the NFC, the simulation had the Buccaneers getting the most wins with 12.2, followed by the Packers at 10.4 and the 49ers at 10.3. Now in the AFC, the Chiefs led the way with 11.9 wins on average, followed by the Bills, Ravens, and Browns, who were also slated to win double-digit games. So in all, the simulation had just 7 teams that will win at least 10 games. Now last year, 13 teams won at least 10 games in the regular season. So onsides or offsides, at least 10 teams will win 10-plus games this regular season.
And you added an extra game.
Yeah,
so they did it last year, and then you added an extra game this year. The Seahawks are 12-4 last year. They should win 10-plus games. The Rams were 10-6 last year. They should win 10-plus games. The Saints were 12-4. All right, they could go down. Let's just say if Jameis Winston has some struggles, so I'll take him out. Buccaneers were 11-5. They'll win 10-plus games. Maybe Dallas in the NFC East, but I don't want to go with anyone in the NFC East. Packers with Aaron Rodgers, 13-3. They'll win 10-plus games. Tennessee and the Colts, let's just go low here. One of them will win 10-plus games. Both could. Buffalo will. That's 6. Steelers won't. Ravens will. Browns will. That's 8. Kansas City will. So that's 9 right there. And I was being disrespectful to some of those teams. Like, I got to think maybe another team in the NFC West that we didn't talk about could win 10 games. Maybe the Saints end up doing it, even though we kind of threw them out just to be a little safe. I could see both teams in the South doing so. Maybe the Pats win 10-plus games with their schedule. You know, I won't totally dismiss Pittsburgh. I don't love Pittsburgh. I don't think Pittsburgh will do, but you can't totally dismiss them. On this question, because 13 did it last year and there were fewer games than what there are this year, there's more games now this year, I'm going to say, yeah, at least 10 teams will win 10-plus games this season on sides.
So we had a lot of squirrel Zach talk here. We will continue animals for the last question. Ugh, how many animals?
Eating a squirrel.
Well, we're not eating. How about fighting? I think you could beat a squirrel in a fight, but how many animals?
I don't think so. Squirrels are tough.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Well, you're telling me if a squirrel bites you in the calf, you're screwed. Even my mega calf.
Oh,
you know
boy.
They were talking about my calves, by the way?
Who's they?
The fan in Milwaukee.
Wow.
Their crosstalk were the size of my calves. And they were gushing over the size of my calves. Rami and Sparky.
How do they know your calf size?
Well, someone told me I was fat once. Which at one point I was fat. Now I lost some weight. So I'm a little less gargantuan now. And I posted a photo. Hey, I used to be fat, but now I'm down like, what? Today I was down, I think, 66 total pounds. But at the
nice.
Time it was like 50-something. And I showed a picture of my weight loss progression. And one was a picture of my calves. And they said I have the largest calves that they've ever seen on a regular human being, like take away athletes and things like that. I don't think that's true, but that's what they said, not me.
Well, congratulations on that. We'll see how much that could help you. So
YouGov. Local radio show does a feature on Zach Gelb's calves. I love that.
YouGov did a survey asking if you had a fist fight with an animal, how would it play out? Now, according to results, 72%, yes, no weapons, just you and an animal fighting.
Mm-hmm.
72% of Americans believe they could beat up a rat. 61% could take on a goose.
I haven't seen New York City rats. That or was it a raccoon, Francisco Lindor?
That is very true. 23% could take a large dog. Now, how about we go bigger animals? Let's go Kings of the Jungle here.
Mm-hmm.
15% of Americans think they could take on a king cobra.
Idiots.
8% think they could win a fight against either a gorilla, elephant, or lion.
Morons.
And a whopping 6% believe they could beat up a grizzly bear. So we'll do a quick rapid fire here. Onsides or offsides, Zach? Onsides or offsides, you could beat up a gorilla.
Offsides.
Offsides.
How about an elephant?
It would stomp on me.
Offside.
Grizzly bear.
No.
Offside.
How about a kangaroo?
Have you seen kangaroos fight?
They throw some vicious punches.
They look like boxers. No.
Offside.
I will finish up. How about an eagle? Could you fight an eagle?
No.
Offside.
No, 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 no. And anyone that says yes, please. You're a Twitter tough guy and you're a liar. Is Brian Fittinger going to join us in the next segment? I saw the hotline.
Yes,
he
is. 8:40. 10 minutes.
Now look at that producing by me. I said, let's go onsides, offsides. I knew he was eventually going to call. He's going to be late, though. We were going to have time to squeeze him in that segment, so we'll squeeze him in the next segment. What is going to happen with Julio Jones? We get some answers from Atlanta next.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
You can think of Rally Auto Parts for all your car care needs on The Zach Gelb Show. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Send out to the guest line right now. We'll talk about Julio Jones, and we'll do that with a former Falcons wide receiver, now host Morning Drive for a while on The Fan in Atlanta. That's Brian Finneran, kind enough to give us a few minutes right now on the show. Brian, how you been?
Good, man. I'm doing great. I love the 50 Cent coming in. I wish you had played it longer.
Well, you know what? We had to get to it. We had to get to you real quickly. As much as I love 50 Cent, and we would have enjoyed, I think the listening audience wants to get your thoughts on Julio Jones. We'll get to that in just a second. I have a very serious question, though, for you out of the gate. Have you ever ate squirrel? Just wondering.
Are you talking about, was that Ben Cleveland?
Yeah, he eats squirrel. A lot of it.
That dude is a freaking monster. Never in my life would I think about eating squirrel. But if it was the only thing in the freezer, like he said, I guess you just got to go for it. I have no idea what he was talking about. I have no idea what squirrel tastes like, and I don't want to know what it tastes like.
Imagine when you were at college at Villanova, if you had squirrel instead of a cheesesteak.
I'll take the Pat cheesesteaks for sure.
Come on. You can't be going to Pat's and Geno's. That's a tourist trap.
Dude,
you know that.
I'm not even going near Geno's. Pat's is the way to go.
You got to go to DeLisandro's. You got to go to Mama's. Next time you're in Philly, let me know. Brian Finner in here with us. So what's going on with Julio Jones? It appears like he's going to get traded after June 1. Is that your read? Is that your feel that he's on his way out of town?
God, that salary cap situation is so bad for the Falcons. I don't know how you get around it unless Grady Jarrett takes like a signing bonus of all of his money, 14 or 15 million, and takes it right away. I don't know how you create the money without doing something with Julio Jones. And we've heard Terry Fontenot, who's a new GM in Atlanta from New Orleans. We've heard Arthur Smith talk about it. It's a scary proposition. I've had my issues with Julio Jones as far as playing games. So Julio is a Hall of Fame wide receiver. There's no question about it. He is. I played with Harry Douglas, and Harry got a chance to play with Julio after I got released after the 2010 season. And he said to me, he's never seen a guy that big, that strong, that fast, that quick, be able to do the things he's been able to do. He's so special. I don't know how you move on from him. The only way you move on from him is because your salary cap is so bad you don't have an option. If there's a way Terry Fontenot can keep him here, I think he will. And I think that's through Grady Jarrett. And I hope to God that they make that happen.
Here's the part that I just don't know what the Falcons are doing, Brian Finneran. You know, they restructure Matt Ryan. They don't take a quarterback in the draft. You have Kyle Pitts now. You got Calvin Ridley. And now they may trade Julio Jones. I understand the salary cap situation. It's terrible. You've even said it yourself. Do they still think they could win in this group? And do you actually believe that this group can still win? Or is this just going to be a thing in a year or two where you hit the reset and you're really going to be rebuilding?
It's a great question. I think Matt Ryan is a, I don't know what you call him. You can call him a top 10, top 12, top 15 quarterback. I think I'm a little biased because I play with the guy and I know how good he is. Very catchable ball, super smart, understands defenses. His ability to manipulate the pocket, his leadership skills are just through the roof. So I really do think Matt Ryan can play two more years at a high level. So I feel like Arthur Smith, the head coach, offensive coordinator, came from Tennessee, watched a bunch of film along with the rest of his coaching staff and Terry Fontenot, and said this guy can still play. He is maybe not elite, maybe not Tom Brady and Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers type, but the very next level right there. If you give Matt Ryan a top 15 defense, which he's never had, he can do whatever you want him to do because they can score 30 points a game, no question. And then you had Kyle Pitts. I'm not sure what Mike Davis from Carolina, who he got in free agency. I'd like to think he can do something. He ruined the Falcons a couple times when he played them last year when he was with Carolina. I just think between the guys they picked up, Kyle Pitts, Mike Davis, you got Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, Hayden Hurst, you can do enough on offense to cover for the defense. And then you finally have a defensive coordinator who is proven in this league in Dean Pease. that can do different things with different guys. The problem is, I don't know if there's enough good talent on defense to make it happen.
Brian Finneran here with us for a few more moments. It was not surprising when they took Kyle Pitts at four. We knew that was going to be the pick. We had a sense that was going to be the pick. I know you're a Matt Ryan guy. You play with him and you're buddy-buddy with him. I get that. Did you think they should have taken Justin Fields at that fourth spot? You know, was that something you were advocating for or not so much?
Advocating, not so much. But yeah, I said multiple times on my radio show on 680 The Fan, I was like, if that group of coaches believes he's the guy, you can't pass up on Justin Fields. Because watching him at Ohio State, watching what he did against Clemson and different teams in the last couple of years, he has the ability to be a game changer. And then I look back, and I always go, what have Ohio State quarterbacks done in the past? And there literally is not one Ohio State quarterback. And listen, I'm not trying to knock down Justin Fields, but every Ohio State quarterback has been just average to below average to terrible. So the system and all that stuff in college is a lot different than the NFL. So they saw something they didn't like. They must have seen something they didn't like, because I was very close to being like, let's get a guy that's going to be a game changer for the Falcons. You can sit behind Matt Ryan for a full year, right? You can get rid of Matt Ryan next year if you need to, if you need to take a better salary cap hit next year and make it happen. And that guy, Justin Fields, the things he does on the field, and things he did his 2 years at Ohio State were unbelievable. So I just think they watched enough film, they watched enough stuff going on to know that Matt Ryan can carry them through the next not picking a quarterback at four and Justin Fields on the board, maybe believe they think Matt Ryan is the answer for the next few years. This is not a group that wants to be a rebuild group. They want to win now.
What do you need back if you're going to trade Julio Jones? What do you need back? Do you need a first-round pick back? Do you think you'll get a first-round pick?
Oh, my God. Yeah, you need a first-round pick. If you can't get a first-round pick, it doesn't make any sense to do anything with Julio Jones. That guy is a first-ballot Hall of Famer. And I understand the whole thing. I understand what's going on with his contract situation and everything else, but that guy is too special to pass up. And my only hiccup with Julio, and I've said it multiple times on my radio show, I don't think I've ever seen a guy come out of games more in situations where you need him. Where, like, say it's like 2nd and 10, and he runs a go route, and they don't throw it to him, and now they complete it to a running back out of the backfield, and he gets like 4 yards. Now it's 3rd and 6. And Julio kind of taps out and goes to the sideline. And I don't know. It's hard for an offensive coordinator to not know what your best weapon's going to do as far as being in the game. But that is it. That guy has taken a beating throughout the course of his career, and he always comes up and plays hard. And the catch he had in the Super Bowl is the one I remember the most, where – that was the game winner right there. As long as you kick a field goal, you're good. And listen, as a Falcon fan and a former player, Kyle Shanahan is the top of my list as far as the the guys that cost us that deal. But if you can't get a first-round pick for Julio Jones, it makes no sense to trade him. Zero.
Brian Finneran, enjoy your cheesesteak with squirrel tonight for dinner. We appreciate the time.
The last thing I'm having is squirrel.
There he is, Brian Finneran, joining us on the Zach Gelb Show. See, that's the tough part for the Falcons. They're trying to tell you that this group can get to the playoffs this year, but I don't know how many people believe that. Like, I don't think they're a playoff team this year. And if you keep Matt Ryan, who's still a good quarterback in this league, not great, but good. You know, he's right in, you know, top 15. I don't know if he's probably, if he's top 10, he's like 10 at this point. So he's in that 10 to 12 range, 10 to 15 range. So you restructure his deal, and then if you go trade Julio Jones, you're telling me, well, you're trying to win, but you're trying to build for the future, but it's also salary cap. It's all over the place. I really thought when the Falcons bring in a new regime, they should have just blown the entire thing up. Got rid of Mac, got rid of Julio Jones. You have Calvin Ridley, young piece. You have Kyle Pitts, or maybe you should have drafted a quarterback there with Justin Fields.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.